was Aaron. You're now listening to Swampland TV Podcast. Yo, 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 we back again with another episode of Swampland TV Podcast, man. And we got an OG homie, OG fam, OG block runner, OG boot boy, you know what I mean? We got my guy, Renaissance Slick. We got Nick in here, you know what I mean?
What's up? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? How you feeling, my brother?
What's happening, bro? What's happening, bro? I'm super excited to have you on, dog, just because, you know, we go back like the four flats and the Cadillac, so I had to bring it back, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah, man. Appreciate you having me, man. Big fan of the culture and, you know, the whole thing you got going here, Swampland TV, goddamn.
Yeah, bro. So look, Nick was one of the first guys, like, other than myself, in the blog era, like, really being a nerd. And even before, even outside of all that, man, he's one of the only few Louisiana homies that I know who started a predominant blog for hip hop and media and all this, going all over the boot, you know, showing love to everybody, interviewing people, shining light. You know, my boy don't went to school, got his thing right. You know what I mean? Putting out more content. My man don't work for the news circuit. My man Emmy nominated. You know what I'm talking about? So we about to talk about all this. So we're going to jump right into it. I'm going to ask you the first question, man. So, bruh, what inspired you to get into media culture? For real, for real. What was that first inspiration?
First inspiration, bro. I grew up watching the news. I was grandma's boy, you know? So she would watch CBS daily, you know what I'm saying? And just every time CBS would like log off or they would sign off, they would always have a feel-good story. In front of all the mess, all the crazy news and shit, right? And those stories always stuck with me, you know. And being able to tell stories, I think, is probably one of the easiest and earliest, you know, ways to really be creative. It's like you don't need much. You don't need any money. All you need is your imagination and how you tell everybody's story. Everybody has a story, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I needed to find an avenue to tell the stories like back home because we are very special people, you know, got a Creole heritage. Coming from Lafayette, Louisiana, we a whole microcosm. We're a literal gumbo of people, mm-hmm. and a mixture of so many different cultures. And this is special. You know, people need to hear about it.
No, facts, and Lafayette. You know, up our area, Louisiana, yo, you got down south Louisiana, but Lafayette is up there by where I'm from. We up there. It's a whole other thing. You know, it's Louisiana mixed with a little bit of Texas, too. You know, it's the real gumbo. It's the real gumbo. We're a little bit Mississippi in there, too. You know, like.
We south. Yeah. Deepest part of the south.
We the south, man. So, yeah, bro. Look, the first, like I said, the first blog I remember from you. It's Slicktron, and that was the vibe. Yeah. Slicktron was going off, bro. It was going crazy. So I wanted to ask you, was that your first blog that you ever made? And what inspired you to do Slicktron in general?
Yeah, man. Slicktron was the first blog I ever made. And what inspired me was Ill Roots, illroots.com out of Chicago. This creator called Mike Wax. Mike Wax. Started it off with like a blog spot, I believe. And once I figured out, it was just a pretty much an open blog website where you could do whatever you want. I just was like, shit, we could do that here. And we needed that voice. We didn't have any outlets specifically for Louisiana at the time. And I mean, everyone knew of what New Orleans had to offer. Everyone knew what Baton Rouge had to offer. Boosie was at his peak at this time, right? Mm-hmm. So I felt like there was so many in-between places that weren't getting any shine. Lafayette, Shreveport, Monroe, even Houma. There's all these little tiny factions in Louisiana that weren't getting any spotlight musically. And in like not just hip hop, it could be R&B. There was rock groups that were popping. There was just instrumentalists that nobody was really getting what was going on at the time. And I felt like somebody needs to document what's happening, you know, just in case somebody wants to know what's happening.
Yeah, just in case. Nah, for real. That was actually beautiful, man. Like, and I'm still enamored because, you know, anytime somebody takes the effort to just, you know, stand on it and do something to press the culture forward, man. It's like we got to uphold those people and show those people love. You know what I mean? Because it ain't there's not many. There's not many that are going to come through and recognize that something needs to be done. You know, most people are going to be a bystander in most situations. But, you know, for the people who really take up the mantle and keep wanting to press it forward, man. Shout out to y'all, man. So shout out to you, bro, for real.
Appreciate you.
Straight up, straight up, straight up, man. So after Slicktron, bro, because you were doing Slicktron in school, huh, in college, huh?
Yeah, man, I was in school. So it was like a, it was mostly like a distraction, distractionary project, just like a side hustle type thing. Just trying to, it was really, honestly, bro, it was an avenue to get my videography skills to sharpen. I was in school for broadcasting at the time. And I used it as pretty much like a school project to kind of sharpen up my interview skills and sharpen up my videography skills, mostly my editing skills, too.
Man, that's that. Well, shoot, man, look, dive a little bit more into that for the boys, because, you know, we know that you used it as a vehicle. So let us know how that what it did for you after you got out of school and like how you handled that and what it kind of prepped you up for.
Sure, man. So like Slicktron gave me like all types of real world experiences. Like I chopped it up with sneaker politics. Shout out to Derek. Like real early on, his first shop was in Lafayette. So he let me like do interviews with Atlantic recording artists and all types of like any up and comers that were coming through the shop. He gave me a huge story. He gave me his second store location news. Like he let us know that he was going to open up in Baton Rouge before anybody else did. Mm-hmm. So we like got to premiere that. So all of this, like all these news outlets got me into a CVS affiliate in my hometown, Lafayette, which led me into becoming a videographer for like news, hard news stories, you know what I'm saying? And that, you know, all those skills, still doing Slicktron, still sharpening skills. That took me to New Orleans, where I got to kind of explore and to reach out to different type of artists and different type of media vehicles. At this time, I was podcasting too, all under the same umbrella. So now, at this point, we got like videography skills, we got photography skills, we got interview skills, editing skills, and all this stuff is coming from the culture. All this stuff is coming from my passion.
Yeah. That's tight. It's sick, sick. And you still going up, man. We're off to the next era. And then, man, it was one day you're on the internet. I'm just seeing, I'm like, yo, my boy is Emmy nominated now. Let's talk about this, bro. What was up with that, bro?
Fast forward working in New Orleans. It's, you know, it's the hub for Louisiana. Yeah. And I had the pleasure and the opportunity to work in one of the biggest news stations in New Orleans, Fox 8. If you watch the Saints game, you watched it on Fox 8 in Louisiana. Yeah. Like, we had all of this access and all of this power at the time. And we were just messing around, and we did, like, a quick promo for our news team. And so this was a new thing for me. I didn't know that Emmys, you know, like, had regions and shit, right? So we submitted our work to, like, a local like Suncoast Emmy. So it'd be like us, Florida, like Atlanta, like it's a bunch of different avenues, a bunch of different
North Carolina stations. And shit, yeah.
North Carolina, like we going against like all the most creative videographers in the South, pretty much. We got nominated for an Emmy. Didn't take home the gold, but we was damn near close, goddamn.
That's lit, bro. even just getting there. For, you know,
but it's a dream come true. Exactly. I'd have never thought I'd have an opportunity to get nominated for an Emmy, let alone from something I did in the news. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
And that's a vibe, bro. And it's like we need to see more brothers in that space, man, doing it and laying creative groundwork and just showing what it is being a face. So it's good to have you be one, man, and represent that, be an example for real, man. It's
anything fire. I could do to help.
It's fire. serious, man. So, you know, we know you, you know, big dog culture man. And, you know, you know me, I'm always going back and forth with the culture. When we used to chop it up, you know, we always talking about the culture, what's going on, hip hop, all this. And, you know, I wanted to get your thoughts on this because it's just a combo right now that I'm having with some of my other culture homies about hip hop and the state of it. And like, where are we going to take the conversation? Where are we going to take the platform? How are we going to elevate it into something less toxic and more real in these times? So I wanted to ask you, what do you think is needed to help shift hip hop culture, man? I'm like, I got to ask Nick this one, boy.
Word, man. I think we're in an interesting spot right now, right? Like, hip hop in the culture is at the biggest, arguably one of the biggest, culture, pop, icon, you know, areas in the world, you know, so it's a world entity now. And with that, you know, it's interesting because there's so many different factions. Like, at first it was just like mainstream and underground, and now there's like subcultures within the subcultures within the subcultures. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of misogyny and there's a lot of dark and nasty shit that, you know, that comes from, you know, the power. But I think one of the biggest things we need to remember and try to like erase or at least combat that in some ways, being accountable, speaking up, you know, that just because we're talented don't mean it erases our morals. And I think, you know, especially now we're getting to see the true colors of people, you know what I'm saying? So whatever's in is going to come out. It's going to bubble out at one point. You know? And I don't think the creativity is an excuse anymore. Like, I know a big argument for a long time was whether or not, you know, can you separate the artist from the art? I mean, you really can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You really can't, in my opinion.
No, facts. You know, true, because person, it's that vessel that's releasing this energy. And, you know, when people trace something back, you know, when somebody shoots a gun, who shot the gun? You know, they're going to point the hands. You know, they're going to trace that back to you, especially if you shot somebody, right?
Exactly.
Like, you can't, you jail. Know, you know, it's just what it is, man. To me, we live in an era where everybody's super throwing stones and hiding their hands because they don't want to take the accountability. They just want the likes and what comes with it, and not realizing, you know, there's a back end to what come with that too. You know, that ain't
every time.
You might not like
every time. You reap what you sow, man. Like Mike Jones said, you got to plant the seed before if you want the plant to grow. You're going to get whatever you invest in. You're going to get back whatever you invest in. If you invest in some nastiness, you can get some nasty shit right back. History will show us that, man.
Facts.
We're not exempt from it.
You know, here's a question that I just thought about because, you know, we have you here. You're media boy. Man, what do you think is needed to shift the media space in hip hop culture and black culture, you know, the media space, like how we're looking at it, how we're covering it, you know, what do you think about that?
I mean, it's real blurry. It's, you know, coming from the blog era, there were still factions that were hip hop journalists that, you know, their word was bond and they were taken seriously. You know, their work was taken seriously. Mm-hmm. They were writing, they were interviewing artists, they were challenging artists, they were asking questions. We're not really getting that as much. They're still out there. I'm not going to completely discredit it, but it's the blogs are more gossipy than anything else. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of TMZ-esque reporting, and you don't get as much journalism. You don't get articles. We don't get to know the artists, and we don't get to know the work or, you know, the background or the reason behind the art as much anymore. And I think as soon as we get back to the why, the purpose of art to challenge our thinking and, like, you know, to raise those questions, until we get back to that, I don't think we're gonna stay in this hazy ass cloud of he say she say.
That's super what it feels like, man, because it's like I was talking the other day to a homie and it's like it feels like the blog era was like the last, what feels like the, I can't say the last era of, you know, hip hop because we're still here, right? But cool. I feel like the transition of the time frame of what it was up into the blog era just felt like the peak. because everything was so raw, right? Like, yeah, you could drop music, very raw music, and you had the critics who were actual, the palette makers, you know, kicking it to everybody and being like, this is what we think about this. This is, oh man, this is, you know.
Word. I felt like it was more direct in the blog era. Like, especially like early Twitter, is like, if you had a song out, you can get it straight to the artist. It didn't have to have a promo run. It didn't have to have like a TV spot. It didn't have to have radio spot. If I wanted this song out, I'm putting this shit out right then now. And there.
Right.
And
now.
It was super organic. You know what I'm saying? It was super organic. If the shit was a go, blogs and other people would pick it up, you know, culture people would pick it up, and it would become a thing. I remember when we got Dreams and Nightmares, like, it was a leak before it came out. And, like, it became its own animal before the album dropped. We never heard an intro that would just, like, set fire to the everything.
The world.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, that, Bad and Bougie, there were so many, like, focal points where, like, the Cushion internet,
OJ.
We got
Cushion OJ.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of, pick a currency spot. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, anything that you can really throw a finger at, you know, like, throw a dart at, like, you can trace it back to the blog era. You can trace it back to, you know, like, it's pretty much felt like a test kitchen, like, throwing it out online and see where it went. And now I don't think it's just so much. We don't really have a filter like we used to.
Yeah. It's kind of wild. It's, you know,
which is good and bad in a way. You know, don't get me wrong. It's like, I love the openness. I love the freedom, you know, and I really feel like the right music going to hit the right people, but it's a lot of music.
It's a lot of music.
It's so much coming out at once.
It's a lot of microwave stuff too, man.
It's a lot of bass. A lot of niggas sound the same. And I feel like this is something I always, like, I'm trying to be resistant of, because there was that same issue growing up. There was the same issue in the blog era, but now it's, I don't know if the machine got bigger or stronger, or I don't know if it's a new engine, it's a V8 in the copy-paste machine.
So I feel like after, this is my whole theory of it, you know, you have, you know, goddamn, how do I say it? The labels, right? Before the end, the true, what felt like the end of the blog era, labels were all in just limbo. You know what I mean? Like, cause they were all moving off the 2006 energy of being like, all right, well, the record industry is going under. We have the internet. People are getting songs for free. What the fuck do we do? Right. And then, but, you know, prior to us, you know, Spotify wasn't what we know it as now. Apple Music wasn't what we know it as now. You know, none of that was streamlined heavy. Like, we didn't have artists doing, you know, super releases on it. And, you know, it would eventually get there. It wasn't like the main place to go. But then now that we're in the era of, like, all right, Spotify, all these other things, all these other platforms, it's like the labels are back controlling all the things.
Yeah, it's kind of like what they did with streaming, right? With, like, TV streaming. It's like they just repackaged something that was already a thing. So, like, within streaming music, it's like, it's not a label, but it is a label. Because, you know, there's certain agendas and there's certain artists that's getting pushed to the top of your DSP versus other things. It's like, same thing with streaming. It's like everyone has their own package and their own bundle. It's just remixing into cable. So we're just seeing a remix into the music industry with the DSPs.
Mm-hmm. Nah, for real though. Serious. That's what it feels like, man. That's what it's feeling
nasty,
like.
Man.
It's what it's feeling like. We're moving into a whole other, I don't know. We'll see how it looks in the next 3-4 years.
Who knows, man? Because, I mean, look how fast shit moved. I feel like we just had CDs, you know, not too long ago. Like, maybe, what, 2 decades ago? And yeah. And what's next? It should be real curious to see. It should be curious to see what gets retro next.
Yeah.
Like, what? God, like, we brought vinyl back to life. Are we bringing cassettes back to life and shit?
So
that's what next.
I feel like they're trying. Vinyl is here. Vinyl's back straight up, just because the aesthetic, and you get that feeling of that nostalgic feeling. And then on top of that, like, the crispness, the vinyl sound is different. You know, on top of that.
Yes.
But,
and I think people are like, remembering what it's like to own their music again, own their media again. Like, just in case if shit shuts down, if a server shuts down right now, I might not have my 8,000 songs on Spotify, but I for sure got my Equimini triple vinyl because I bought
for real. That's the one you gotta get first. You gotta get one of those first, especially that one. My bro. No, seriously. So I think, man, honestly, I think it's gonna be a run of a return of things. It might not be the same thing, but I feel like things are starting to get into like packaging. Like they're about to include a whole bunch of various things in a package for people when they get it. You know what I mean? Remember how they used to do that? Oh, you get the tickets included with the album and the da 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 da. I think they're gonna like start reflipping that. You know what I mean? In like creative ways, type vibe.
I hope so, man. I miss tangible media, man. I miss the booklets. I miss the coming soon pamphlets inside the shit. Like I miss shit you could hold on to. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think that whatever comes back to that, you know, whether it be merch or like you said, packaging. I'm excited for it.
You know who I think does this really well and supersedes a lot. And of course this is out because they have the infrastructure to do this and the business structure to do this. But K-pop, they have it down. They have it down as far as merchandising, all that, how they put it together. They give you the special edition CD with the, you get the extras, you get the booklet, you get the, boy, what? It's like a video.
The bobblehead, you get the t-shirt. Like, nah, they got it. They really got it.
They got it, bro. My mom is a super like BTS stan. She's a member of the BTS army. So like she has a whole collection. She has a whole section. Like she has a whole.
I was surprised she got like stand ups, man. Like yeah, pop up people.
Real talk. So I think we're going to get some more of those. And, you know, the culture got to figure it out and look back and. I think it's actually time for motherfuckers to get over that hype shit, bro, because people actually have to be who they say they are, like, and be super transparent. And then that's just what it's going to be, because like, if you get that respect, if you're that person, if you're him, you're him because you're him. And you can't we're not in the era, to me, we shouldn't be in the era where, oh, you're him because the popularity contest, you're here because of whatever, you know, like. Like, yeah, I get that's a part of it, but what else what are you actually bringing to the table that no one else can bring, that only you're bringing? What's your, you know, like, we need.
Yeah, you know, I feel like those guys are bubbling to the top. Like, you got guys like that, like Tizo, that are just so abstract that are, like, you can't deny them. Yeah. And I think the cool thing is, like, about this time is you're going to see a lot more of those type of acts, that they're so different, they're so obscure, that you have no choice but to pay attention to them. I think Alive is going to come as like anti-culture too. And I think that's kind of how the blog era got birthed. You know, it was like anti-snap. It was anti, you know, mainstream. Yeah. Like it was boom bap all over again. It was tough, bro.
It was like,
you know what I'm saying? Like it was a rebirth of so many things that were just so like core culture, core hip hop. And I think we're going to get that again. Like we're just in a low peak in the valley before we shoot right back up.
No facts. I love your optimism, bro. It's needed.
It's coming. It's coming, man. Good things
needed,
are coming.
It's needed. No, I feel like it's coming too. And just because, you know, we keeping our ears to the street and I feel like one artist, just me throwing it out there, I kept saying it. I tweeted one time and I don't tweet much, but I was like, hey, LaRussell got it figured out. He talking the talk.
He don't need it.
People who be talking about whatever, I'm like, nah, y'all, he talking the talk that I've been saying the whole time. Like, this is what it, you know, and we're in that.
He's giving the game plan. Yeah. He's giving the game plan. He reminds me a lot of Currency. He's like, look, this is what works for me. I'm going to set up shop in my backyard and they're going to come to me and I'm going to serve my lemonade right in my front yard. It's beautiful. It really is.
Come on. That's the vibe, bro. That's literally.
That's exactly my point, man. They got more LaRussells coming. They're coming. Yeah, the blueprint's already laid out. He's laying the blueprint early for everyone else. So it's just jump on the yellow brick road.
It's a lot of things, man. And the more, and people, just word of advice, like, if you're following your heart genuinely, you create your own blueprint, but you got to do it from what you, your strength, no one else's. be inspired, but tap into you.
Your originality comes from you. with everything that's at, it comes on that side.
Mm-hmm. We up, man. We up. So look, I got what I got, boy. We chopping up. It's too easy chopping up with you, dog. It flies by. It's been a minute too, y'all. We ain't got to chop it up in a minute, y'all. So just saying. But I got another question on some chill vibe, though, just because this is the one. And it's the last question I got written. But what's your favorite album right now, bro?
Ooh, that's tough. So it's okay. I'm not even going to think too hard. Now, my favorite album, I just discovered this bitch today, is Marvin Gaye's In My Lifetime. I just discovered this. Came out in 1981. It's some of the funkiest shit I've ever heard. Yeah. I didn't even know Marvin Gaye got down like that.
Yeah, bro. Dude.
But that's where I'm at, man. I like to dig and explore. I like to create big. I like to sample, the sample hunt. You know what I'm saying? I'm not... Mm-hmm. I'm not against, you know, sample snitching, man. Let niggas know where the original come from. It's like, just because you ain't no fee, ain't got shit to do with me. Pay them people.
Pay them people. Nah, bro, I'm super, like, now we're at the point where I really enjoy when people find out, or when I find out, because I'm, you know, when you're a super nerd and you think you heard it all, and you like, what? I didn't know that. Like, right, when we heard that Hit-Boy did flip the Powerpuff Girls into the thing, I was like, what?
I'd have never guessed that. I'm so glad they snitched. It's like, I'd have never figured that shit out. It's brilliant.
I didn't think it. I wouldn't have thought. I'll sample some crazy shit. And I was like, oh no, he did that. You couldn't even guess. So fire, man. So what you got coming up next, bro? You know what I mean? Anybody you want to shout out? Anybody want to go shout out? Talk to the people, man. Give your vibes. Give your energy.
I just want to shout out Swampland TV. I love being here. I love the culture here. I'm trying to get my fighting skills up. Look, shout out to the rollback for DBZ Fighters. Yeah, shout out to my Freeza mains, all four of us. You heard me?
Okay, bro. We could get some games in on the DBZ, man. Because I've been waiting for the rollback for that.
Oh man, it's a long time coming. I hope the connection problems tighten up, because that was the only thing that was lacking. It's one of my favorite fighters to come out in the last 5 years.
Okay, bet, man. And I'm glad that got a lot of people back into the FGC for real fighters, man, just because it's Dragon Ball Z. We all know Dragon Ball Z. That's an easy alley-oop, man. You know, like, for the culture, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 energy with the new energy. So
exactly.
I fuck with it, bro. What you playing, man, right now? What other games are you playing right now?
I'm a little bit of everywhere right now, man. Just beat up on Spider-Man 2. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for that all year.
Wavy.
I think my sleeper game of the year might have to be Armored Core, man. That's me. Yeah. I didn't see it coming. It was one of my favorites, and I'm still working on it, honestly. But it was a good little challenge. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. No, and beat robots.
Yeah, man. I seen you on the Discord too. Y'all, who playing Armored Core? I was like, oh, he on the Armored Core. So I know it's real. And people be going crazy on the PvP on Armored Core, bro.
Oh, it's nuts. It's real nasty, man. It's your big gun for my big gun. Big bang, take a little bang.
That's the vibe, man. Hell yeah. But look, man, look. We got the boy Slicktron here. I thank you for coming through Swampland TV, man. We about to peace up out here, man. Swampland TV, we going to get at y'all another day, man.
Peace.
Peace.